Claiming his promises. And one of those promises we find in God's Word is found in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let us pray.
Come today to worship the Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we turn to thank you, praising you, and lifting up our voices with joy. Father, we thank you for the joy we have in our lives. No matter what happens, without the joy, this knowledge that you loved us and that you'll keep us in the mighty name. For it is in your word you said that nothing in this world or the world to come. Dark angels, nothing can take us out of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I praise you, Lord, and I ask you to bless this altar. Make it pleasing in your sight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. The soon coming King of glory. Amen.
Amen.
so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, I was covering up the secret tears I cried. Then one day someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on the hill called Calvary. There you died and purchased my redemption. Then you broke his heart and set my spirit free. Tomorrow. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 we read, God is the one who made all things, and all things are for His glory. He wanted to have many children share His glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank You that You love us unconditionally. God, that You made us in order to just pour out Your love upon us. Help us, God, that we might love You back. And then, God, thank You for calling us to be a part of Your family, to belong to You. Speak to us now, God, through Your Word. We'll make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to think about the verse that we just read. God said He created the universe so that He could love you. He created the universe because God wanted to have a family, and He wants you to be a part of His family. We're in a series called What on Earth Am I Here For? Last week we learned that our primary purpose is to be loved of God, to love God back, and we call that worship. We love God back. Well, today, God not only calls us to love Him, but He calls us to be a part of His family and to love one another. So the second purpose in my life is that God formed me for His family. Ephesians 1 and verse 5, His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Very first week in this series, I made the reference that some people are accidental parents. There's no such thing as an accidental child. God brought you into this world because God has a plan for your life. But there are some accidental parents. That is, they never planned to be a parent. Okay? This was not their plan. As a matter of fact, yesterday, we were in a restaurant, Teresa and I were, and she was holding up a picture of our niece and saying, "Hey, look, she's going to have a baby, and she's got her little baby pouch going on there." And the people in the restaurant, they just laughed and said, "Oh, not her." She said, "I would never have one of them little road rats." Well, guess what? Sometimes parenting is not planned. But I'm telling you, there's an occasion when it's always planned, and that's when it's an adoption. You see, when you adopt a child, you're choosing. You're saying, "I want that child to be in my family." Now, that child may have all kinds of problems. They may have all kinds of baggage. They may have all kinds of issues going on in their life. But when a person says, "I want to adopt you," that says, "I want you to be a part of my family." And that's what God says about us. God says, "I want to adopt you into His family." You say, "Oh, but you just don't know all the ways that I messed up." God knows all of those, and He still wants you to be in His family. And then next, notice God's family has a name. His family is called His church. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, "Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing these things to you now. Then, even if I'm delayed, you will know how to live in the family of God. That family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth." What do you call your family? In our house, we call ourselves the Bean family, okay? And we kind of make fun of human beings, and we say we're human beings. We're the Bean family. Well, God has a name for His family, and His family is the church. And so notice here that God wants you to belong. That is, God called you to belong to His church. In Ephesians 2:19, we read, "So now you're no longer visitors or strangers. Now you are citizens together with God's holy people. You belong to God's family." God has called us to belong to His church, to His family. Romans 1:6 says, "And among those who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ." You know what the word church means? It comes from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia means to be called out. The church is those that have been called out of the world to belong to the family of God. And so if you're a child of God, you've been called out of this world, and you belong to God, and that's what the church is. Notice here, the church is not a building. Some of you got up this morning and said, well, get ready, we're going to church. That's not true. You were going to the building where the church meets. You see, you are the church if you're a part of the family of God. The church is not a building. It's not a program. Church is not an event that you watch. Okay? It's not a spectator. Well, I'm going to go to this place and I'm going to watch church. Okay? Church simply means that I belong to the family of God. I belong to a group. Anthony Grove Baptist Church is my spiritual family. If you were to say, where do you go to church? I would say, I belong at Anthony Grove Baptist Church. You see, God's church is God's family. You and I need a spiritual family. And there are benefits to being in God's family. As a matter of fact, there are five different metaphors, five different symbols the Bible uses to describe the church. Number one, it's described as a family. In God's family, I learn my true identity. In Ephesians, we read, you are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Let me ask you, who are you today? How do you know who you are? Where do you get your identity from? Most of us get our identity from our family. Now think about that. That's a good thing if you have a healthy family. If you have a healthy family, then you will have a healthy identity about who you are. The problem is a lot of us here today came from unhealthy families. Just this past week, I was talking to a guy, and let me tell you what he told me. It broke my heart. He said, I've been told my whole life that I was a nothing, that I was a nobody, that I would never amount to anything, and one day I would end up in prison. By the way, did you know 90% of the people in prison have been told that their whole life? And one day they woke up, they said, well, it must be true. So where do you get your identity from? Who are you? If you're a part of God's family, your identity is, I am a child of God. Amen. Now think about it. Most of us, we have our identity, and it's some type of external, physical thing that identifies us. Okay? Guess how I've been identified most all my life. He's a short guy. You see, I'm identified by some physical characteristic. By the way, you know what? I grew up in a dysfunctional home. You know, I grew up, my parents were divorced and separated. But you know what? I had a mother that loved me, and I had a dad that encouraged me. My dad told me, he said, son, you can be anything you set your mind to. And I believed it. Then one day I found out he's wrong. Let me tell you how I knew he was wrong. No matter how hard I tried, I'm never going to be the center for the Los Angeles Lakers. Not going to happen. Now, you know, if I'd have tried really hard, I might have been a white monkey boat. You know, I might have been a point guard for the Hornets, but no way positive thinking is going to make me the center of Los Angeles Lakers. But think about it. Where is your identity? Where does it come from? And you know, there's a lot of people today trying to figure out who they are. And they're trying to do it with all kind of external things. They go out and buy designer clothes. I mean, why do you buy clothes that's got somebody's name on it? And by the way, you pay extra to have that little logo put on it. They should be paying you. You're advertising for them. So what do? You turn around and pay two prices too much. I'll tell you a little story on my sisters. When they were teenagers, it was cool to be preppy. Y'all know what preppy is, right? Okay? It's kind of the opposite of redneck, you know. But anyhow, they wanted to be in the preppy crowd. They wanted to be identified with the preppy people. But you know what? Preppy clothes with logos on it are expensive. Yeah. And we're just normal, everyday, average people as far as economics was concerned. But here's what my sisters would do as teenagers. They go down to the mall and they buy a $3 pair of Izod socks. And then they cut that little alligator off of it. And then they go into JCPenney and buy a $10 sweater. And they would sew that $3 alligator on that $10 sweater. And everybody thought they had a $100 sweater. Yeah. You see, today so many people are trying to figure out who they are and who they identify with. And a lot of folks go out and they buy things because it's a status symbol. And if I got this symbol, it says, I'm important, I'm somebody. Folks, I'm telling you, I don't have to have an alligator on my shirt to know I'm valuable and I'm important and that I'm loved because I'm a part of the family of God. But think about it. Folks go out, they spend big money on an emblem. Have you ever thought about a car? You know, a car says, what's a car for? It gets you from point A to point B in a dependable manner, right? But did you know you go out there and buy a car and it's got three initials in its name? K-I-A. A Kia. Y'all know what a Kia is, right? It's an American-made car by a Korean corporation, KIA. You know what? It has three letters in its name, has four wheels, has a motor, has a transmission, has a 100,000-mile warranty. Well, you go out and you buy another car, it's got three letters on it, BMW. It's got three letters in its name. It's got a little round emblem. It's got four wheels and a motor and a transmission. But can I tell you what? The warranty's not near as good, but you'll pay a whole lot more for the car that starts with a B than the one that starts with a K. Why would people do that? Well, it says, I'm important. I'm successful. Look at me. It becomes their identity. Listen, you are not the things you possess. Let me tell you who you are. Who you really are is who you're related to. I mean, today, I want you to know, let me tell you who Dennis Bean is. I'm a son. I'm a daddy. I'm fixing to be a papa. Okay? I'm a pastor. I'm a brother. You see, I am my relationships. And God says He wants you to be a part of His family. Who are you? Identify with the people of God. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, it says, Jesus and the people He makes holy all belong to the same family. That's why he isn't ashamed to call them his brother and sister. Any of you got any family that you might be a little ashamed of? Huh? Any of you got any family that's a little weird? Listen, if you don't have any weird family members, I got some extra ones I'll let you call if you're feeling neglected, okay? My brother's in the first service this morning. Dale turned around, says, and he looked at my brother. I said, Dale, turn back around. You're making this too easy. But all of us have somebody in our family. You ever watch the program Duck Dynasty? I love Duck Dynasty. You ever tell you what I like? I like Uncle Si. You tell me why I like Uncle Si? Everybody's got a crazy uncle, don't they? Huh? That's what makes him so popular. But think about it. Jesus says He's not ashamed to call you His brother. He's not ashamed to call you His sister. That is, God wants you to belong and to be a part of His family. And that's where you get your identity from. I want you to know there's so many people today don't know who they are, don't know who they belong to. Dr. James Dobson said 85% of Americans are dysfunctional. You know what dysfunctional means? That means it don't work the way it should. Now get this. If you grew up or you're in a family right now where your mom and dad love each other, they're married to each other, they love you, they love God, you are in a minority. You know, that used to be the normal, but now that's abnormal. The normal is now abnormal. Get this, this broke my heart. 70%, 7 out of every 10 children that grow up today do not grow up in an intact family. What I mean by an intact family, that is you're born in a home with your mom and dad, and you stay with your mom and dad in the same home until you graduate from high school. 7 out of 10 cannot say that they've done that. Only 3 kids out of 10 grow up in an intact family. Well, because we have unhealthy family, a lot of folks have unhealthy identities. Who am I? A lot of folks feel like I'm broken, I'm not wanted, I'm not loved. There's something wrong with me. Let me tell you what we're learning from this scripture is God says, I love you. I created you to love you. And I want you to be a part of my family. You're wanted in the family of God. Now, we all have different identities. People used to identify me as he's that short guy with black hair. I'm not identified that way anymore because my black hair is going to turn gray, all right? But think about it. Things about our external change. Can I tell you that your spiritual family is more important than your physical family? And where you get mad at, don't you think about what I said? Your physical family doesn't last forever. How many of you have been through a divorce? How many in your family have been through a divorce? This is people that were a physical family and they're no longer family. How many of you got family and they died? They're no longer here. You understand, if you're not a part of the spiritual family of God and you die, then that family will be totally separated from you forever and ever and ever. I got some relatives in my family and they're not saved, they're not Christian. And I pray for them, I witness for them, I love for them. Because you know what I understand? I understand that if they don't give their heart and life to Jesus Christ, one day they won't be a part of my family. I'll be separated and never see them again. But you know those that are in my spiritual family? I'm going to be with them forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
It's like an American. You know what? I'm glad to be an American. Listen, if you're not glad to be American, go live somewhere else where you can be glad to live there. I'm glad to be an American. But can I tell you, America is not going to exist forever. The Hittite Empire didn't. The Persian Empire didn't. The Babylonian Empire didn't. The Roman Empire didn't. How about the great empire of Great Britain? You know what? It's just England now. You understand that whole colonization of the world collapsed. One of these days they won't be in America, but they will always be the church. The church is going to live on. God's family is going to live on.
Amen.
Well, that's the first metaphor. Let me move on because we've got five we want to cover. Number two, in God's temple I am supported by others. And this meets my need of stability. In Ephesians chapter 2, in Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. I want you to think about what a temple. What is a temple? A temple is a building that is erected to the glory of God. A temple is a building that is erected where the presence of God shows up. And the Bible says, you are the temple. In other words, when I'm joined together with you and you're joined together with the next person, we make up the temple of God to the glory of God where the presence of God comes down. You understand, anywhere you get God's people together, the glory can come down. It can be under a palm tree in Africa or it can be in a building like this in Christ. But a temple, and you and I are part of the temple. Well, a temple is a building. Think about all the thousands of pieces that have to fit together. Now, Joy, you're in the construction business. Hey, can you do plumbing? What if you run a piece of pipe and it's an inch short? It doesn't work, does it? You see, it's got to be connected. It's got to fit. And for you and I, for life to make sense, for us to be stable, not up and down and up and down, we need to be connected to other believers. You just go out and look at this church and you see all the individual bricks, thousands of bricks, and they're all held together. You see, one brick by itself, it won't do anything, but when you stick a bunch of them together, you can build what? Build a temple and you take God's people and you put them together and you connect them. If you ever go to a construction site, you see a bunch of lumber over here, a bunch of bricks here, a bunch of sand there. And when they're all laying on the ground, you know what? It don't mean a thing. It's only when they come together that you have a building. And so as the temple, we're only the temple when we come together with other believers. Romans 1:12 says, I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me and my faith will help you. See, we need to be connected to each other. There's an epidemic in America. Let me tell you what it is. It's not economics. It's loneliness. I'm telling you what, the world in America today is full of lonely people. And let me tell you where it's the worst. It's with teenagers and young adults. We got all this technology to make us connected, but let me tell you what, we're never around real people in real relationship. It's all just viral. It's all surreal. What we need is we need to be connected with real people. That's the problem with that. But notice here, God wants you to be connected. You might be wondering what this jug right here is. It's a container. You know what's on the inside? Lego. Now, when my kids grew up, they were Lego maniacs, okay? They loved Legos. I'd bribe my kids with Legos. I'd say, right, now, you want that new Lego set? I mean, it's a whole space station, you know, 1,000 parts. Well, you got to have so many A's on your report card. You know, no Legos. And I tell them, you know, kids, hey, report cards in 2 weeks. We're going to Toys R Us, you know. Go get some Legos. I mean, they are a Lego maniac. Listen, my oldest son, 26 years old, he still has Legos. He's going to have a son, by the way. And so I'm probably going to get down in the floor and build some more Legos before it's over with. But think about it. A Lego is designed and it's made to connect to something else. If it doesn't connect to something else, the Lego is just a piece of junk. Think about it. What is all of this stuff right here if it's not connected? It's just a bunch of plastic junk. But you want me to tell you what will happen? Take some of that junk and you connect it and you make a little toy bring a lot of joy to a little child. And you see, that's the way you are. You understand you are God's Lego. God designed you to be connected to other believers, and your life is never going to be all God wants it to be until you're connected to other believers in God's family called the church. Called the church. You see, a lot of folks today, they have this attitude, well, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, I believe in the Bible, but I don't have any use for the church. I'm telling you, that's just wrong. That's wrong. Recently, a man told that to Brother Ken. Green just looked at him and smiled, so I disagree. He's probably nicer than I've been. I just said, tell him, you're just flat wrong. Because you see, if you're not connected, then you're not going to be the person that God's made you. Remember, you're God's Lego. You're designed to be connected to the body of Christ. And I tell you, everybody needs a spiritual family. Everybody needs a church home. Everybody. Now listen, Anthony Grove is not a perfect church. Let me tell you why it's not a perfect church. It doesn't have a perfect pastor. It doesn't have any perfect members. But can I tell you, you can go here, there, and yonder, you're not going to find the perfect church because there's not one, okay? But what I can tell you is that Anthony Grove is not a good church, it's a great church. Let me tell you, this is just not me. It's just not me bragging on my family, but I'm going to brag on my family. You know what I'm holding in my hand right here? I'm holding here a copy of the North Carolina Baptist Biblical Recorder. It's a statewide newspaper for Southern Baptists in North Carolina. By the way, North Carolina Southern Baptist is the largest Protestant denomination in the state of North Carolina. There are 5,000 Southern Baptist churches in North Carolina. And right here, it is listing the top 100 churches in evangelism, reaching people for Jesus and baptizing them. Can I tell you, Anthony Grove Baptist Church from Crouch, North Carolina is in the top 100 of 5,000 churches. We're number 81 on that list out of 5,000. Now, folks, I want you to think about that. Number one on there is the Summit Church in Raleigh. Biggest church in North Carolina, okay? But I'm telling you, it's 50 times bigger than Anthony Grove. It's in a place where there's over 1 million people. Crouch has a whole lot less than that. Raleigh is 500 times bigger than Crouch. But let me tell you what, even though we're 50 times smaller, we're in an area of 500 times less people. We're still in the top 100. Let me tell you what that means. That means God's blessing and God's working. And you need to be connected to a place like that. Hey, I'm gonna brag on my church family a little bit, okay? Let me tell you what the biggest thing in Crouch, North Carolina is. It's Anthony Grove Baptist Church. It's the biggest thing in Crouch. Hey, listen, the Summit Church can't say they're the biggest thing in Raleigh. Biltmore Baptist can't say they're the biggest thing in Asheville. Elevate salvation can't say they're the biggest thing in Charlotte, but the biggest thing in crowds is Andy Grove Baptist Church. It's my spiritual family. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say you need to be connected. You need to have a spiritual family. You need to have a church family. And I'm saying that you can find one right here. You can find a great church. You can find a great home. You can find a great family right here in crowds. And then the next thing I want to share with you is we're described, the church is described as Christ's body. And in that I discover my unique value. In Romans 12, verse 4, just as there are many parts to our body, so it is with Christ's body. We're all parts of it. And it takes every one of us to make it complete. But we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. In your body, there's a whole lot of different parts. Do you have any body parts that you don't want? I've got some don't work as good as they used to, but I like all my body parts. I mean, I got 10 fingers, okay, or 10 toes. I don't want to give one of them away. You say, well, they're not very large. They're not very important. You know what? So what? I'd like to keep my pinky, okay? You say, well, it's not as important as your heart. It's not as important as your liver. But notice all of it is necessary. No, I can't get around. If my whole body were an eye, how would I get anywhere to see anything? You see, you've got to have the foot. You see, we all are part of the body of Christ. We all fit together to accomplish God's purpose. Have you ever built a jigsaw puzzle? Well, sometimes we go to the beach, we go fishing down there off the coast, and the fish aren't biting, so we'll build a jigsaw puzzle. You get a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, you've got it there on the table, and you get to put it together, and you get down, and have you ever had it one piece that's missing? I mean, you got this Thomas Kincaid masterpiece, and one piece is missing, and you notice it seems like it's always right in the middle. And when you look at it, you don't see the beautiful colors, the beautiful design. I mean, what are your eyes drawn to? It's drawn to the one piece that's missing. You know what that is? That's an illustration that every one of us is an important piece of God's puzzle. And if you're not here, if you're not connected, if you're not where God wants you to be, there's a great big hole in the family of God. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 15 and 16, it says, if the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? You see, every part is necessary. You are necessary. I want you to know in this church wants you to be a part of the family. We need you. Now, you may be different. I'm sure you're different. And if you are, praise God, I'm glad everybody's not like me. Aren't you glad everybody's not like you, too? But you see, we all need each other. As a matter of fact, I want you to do something right now. I want you to turn to the person to your right and say, I belong to you. Right, now I want you to turn to the other side and say, you belong to me. Now, some of you didn't say that with a lot of conviction. But here's the point, is that we all belong to each other. I need you, you need me, we need each other. And that's the way the body works. In Ephesians 4:25, it says, in Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. And then number four, the fourth metaphor that the Bible uses is a flock. That is, I'm God's flock, which means I am protected and I'm cared for. In 1 Peter 5:2, it says, take care of God's flock, His people, that you're responsible for. Watch over them because you want to, not because you are forced to. Peter here is talking to the pastors. He's talking to the leaders in the church. By the way, the word pastor simply means shepherd. And the Bible says you're a part of a flock. The family of God is a flock. And you say, now preacher, that doesn't sound very complimentary. I'm a sheep. Why would God call you a sheep? Well, I think he does so because he wants to know how much we're loved and how much we're cared for. Did you know sheep are different than cows? I'm not a farmer, but Rob, cows can kind of take care of themselves. Chickens can take care of themselves. Horses can take care of themselves. Sheep cannot take care of themselves. Bob says, we're a flock. Don't you think about the 23rd Psalm? Y'all familiar with Psalm 23? How does it start out? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that say? It says you're cared for. Why are you cared for? Well, you got a shepherd. And it goes on to say, He leads me beside still waters and lie down in green pastures. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Think about the psalm there. It's saying God cares about you. You have a shepherd because you're a part of the flock. Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's troubles and problems. And this way, you obey the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you do that if you're not connected to God and you're not connected to His family? You can't do the law of Christ. You can't love God and you can't love your neighbor as yourself if you're not connected to the family of God. Now, folks, let me tell you why this is important. Everybody's going to have a need in their life. You're going to get sick. You're going to have death. You're going to have tragedy. You need to have somebody around you that knows you and loves on you. And so here we have several pastors. We have 28 lay ministers. We have a Sunday school classes. We have discipleship classes. We have the ministry. You need to be involved in one of those so that people know who you are, so they can pray for you and they can love on you because they know who you are. You see, you need somebody to care for you. So God puts you in a flock. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, encourage one another and give each other strength. 58 times the Bible says one another. Love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, build one another up, bear one another's burdens. How do you do that if you're not connected to a family? By the way, folks, we all going to be family at some time. Some of you, your family lives hundreds or thousands of miles away. Some of you here, you come from New York and Pennsylvania and Kentucky. Some of you have come all the way from South Carolina. No, foreign country. You come a long way. Your family's a long ways off. Listen, you need to be connected to a spiritual family because you're going to have a need in your life that only a spiritual family can meet. Yesterday, Pastor Ken was at the Lincoln Hospital. He called me. He said, preacher, I need to send out a prayer request. I said, all right, what's going on? And he said, I got a call from my son-in-law. My daughter, Shirley, has been taken by ambulance to Morganton Hospital. She's in intensive care. She has double pneumonia. She has disinfection, all this stuff, very deadly, very contagious. And I said, sure, I'll send it out. I'll ask folks to pray. But I said, let's me and you pray right now. You know, right there on the telephone, God, hear you pray. And so we prayed. I sent out the thing. I sat there in my sweatpants. I jumped up, got me a suit on, got in my car. I went flying up the road to Morganton. And I got there in the intensive care unit. And I beat Ken to the hospital. You know, I was just there visiting with his daughter and with his son-in-law. And then when Ken and Lucille got there, and he's walking in first, because, you know, he can walk faster than she can. And we looked in there and he saw me. He turned around and said, Lucille, guess who's here? Folks, let me tell you why. He didn't expect me to come. He didn't even ask me to come. But you know why I needed to be there? You see, Ken goes around and he sees you and you and you. And when your family's there, he goes and sees your family. And then his family's there. You know what? He needs somebody to go see him. He needs somebody to go see his family. I want you to know when my sister died, I want you to know Brother Ken was on my front porch. And but you see, even though he's been in the ministry 55 years, he still needs somebody to love him. He still needs somebody to pray for him. He still needs somebody to curse. Listen, we need each other. There's no Lone Ranger Christians. God wants you to be in His family. And then lastly, in God's garden, my life becomes productive. In John 15, verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If you go out to an apple tree and you cut off that branch and you lay it on the ground, you don't care how many apples it's going to produce? None. You see, it has to stay connected to the tree. Jesus said, I am the vine and you're the branches. You see, we have to be connected to God. We have to be connected to each other, or we're not going to bear any fruit. Do you want your life to count? Do you want your life to matter? Is there more to life than getting up, going to work, coming home, eating, taking a bath, accumulating junk, and dying? Is there more to life than that? Well, of course there is. Your life can make a difference. Let me tell you, the government is not going to change our world. Education is not going to change our world. Wall Street's not going to change our world. The only hope this world has is the Church of Jesus Christ. And the only way your life will make a difference is you're plugged in to the family of God, serving in the Church of God to further the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Listen, if I thought there was a better way to change the world, that's what I'd be doing. So let me ask you something. What's holding you back? What's holding you from being connected to the family of God? Some of you need to just step out from where you're at this morning and come and say, you know, I've heard about God, I've heard about Jesus all my life, but I don't know Him personally. You need to come and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, and you need to be connected to God. But folks, that's not where it stops, that's where it starts. Once you're connected to God, you need to be connected to God's family. You see, God wants all of us in His family, and He wants His brothers and sisters in the family of God to love each other and be connected to each other. Let me ask you something. What's holding you back? Let me ask you, if not now, when? If not now, when are you going to be connected to God and connected to the family of God? I got a better question than that. Who's caring for you? Who's looking out for you? Who has your back? Then I want to reverse it around. Who are you taking care of? Whose back do you have? Who are you there for? You see, it works both ways. It goes both directions. And so in a moment, I'm going to ask those that have never been connected to God to come and make a commitment to Jesus Christ. If you're connected to God, I want you to take on the badge, the family crest, to take on the family symbol. And say, I'm going to be baptized as a witness that I'm identifying with the family of God. Some of you can say, I've already done that. I want to challenge you today to be involved in a small group, in Sunday school, in discipleship, in a ministry, so people know you and you know them, so you have their back and they have your back. Listen, just coming to a worship service and looking back and sitting back, being a spectator, you're not going to change the world that way. Listen, you're going to have to roll up your sleeves. You're going to have to go to work. You're going to have to be connected to other people to make a difference. You say, well, preacher, I'm in Sunday school, I'm in discipleship, I'm in a ministry. Well, if that's you, I've got a challenge for you, and that is, I want to challenge you to fall in love with the bride of Christ. I want to challenge you to fall in love with the church. I want to challenge you to say, God, I want more fire, and I want more passion. God, I want to make a difference in this world, and God, I want to put down some roots, and I'm going to be connected with the body of Christ. Let me ask you, those of you, some of you have been coming for weeks, some of you have been coming for months, some of you have been coming for years. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on to be connected to the family of God? Are you waiting on an invitation? Here's your invitation. We want you in the family of God at Anthony Grove. We need you in the family of God. And today I want to ask you to get up out of your seat and come and join hands and say, I want to make a difference in the world for Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Are you a part of God's family? I'm telling you, God made the whole universe just so you could be in His family. That's how much God loves you and cares about you. Would you come today and be a part of God's family? Give your life to Christ. Would you come and make your identity public? Say, hey, I want to be baptized. I want to identify with the people of God. I wonder who would come today and say, you know what, I've been coming, I've been watching, I've been sitting, but I don't want to be a spectator anymore. I want to be a participator. I want to come. I want to put some roots down. I want to be connected with other people. I'm God's Lego, and I need to be connected. I wonder who would come today and say, God, help me to fall in love all over again with the body of Christ. Put fresh fire in my bones for the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, Lord God, speak to our hearts now. Holy Spirit, take the Word of God and bring it alive in our hearts. Draw us and woo us, O God, unto Yourself. Help us, God, to be connected to You. Help us, God, to be connected to Your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Would please stand as we sing and invite You to come.